I'm Corinne Bailey-Ray, and you're listening to the Heart Speaks in Whispers podcast. In this series, I'm taking you on a journey through the themes and personal experiences that came together to form the songs on my record, The Heart Speaks in Whispers. Nature, the subconscious, intuition, the healing power of music, the value of being present, and the body, the theme we'll be exploring in this episode. The 21st century life is hectic. Many of us are juggling hectic schedules, we're overwhelmed by responsibilities, we're bursting at the seams with anxiety over never-ending to-do lists. We push our bodies to the limit, reaching for the next cup of coffee or sugar fix to quash fatigue, and we take painkillers to mask our aches and pains. We don't allow these little nuisances to get in the way of our busy lives. But what would our bodies tell us if we stopped long enough to listen? What are they aching to communicate? When I was writing my album, at the very start, I put myself under a lot of pressure. I was coming back from a long tour and I felt really aware of the weight of other people's expectations of me. It was really unlike myself when I look back, but I was really aware of the stress and the sense of time running out. I felt like a sort of brain in a jar, you know, I was just thinking and working really hard and locking myself away in the studio, thinking and completely ignoring my body. And because of that, I feel I came across as very distracted, like I wasn't very present in my sort of everyday life. And I was even getting clumsy. I remember one time sort of running down the steps from the studio and sort of stumbling and like falling down about 4 or 5 steps and just thinking, you know, this is so weird. I never do this. But I was so in my mind and so in the stress that I wasn't even using my body in a normal way. And obviously I wasn't even able to run down the steps at speed without causing myself some injury. It's a crazy thing when you work for yourself because no one ever says, oh, you've done a great job, go home. No one ever says, oh, you've done enough. And I think if you're a really hard worker, it's very easy to get into a mindset where you just, no amount of work is good enough. No amount of work is fast enough. No amount of work is enough for that day. You know, I felt like that it was really hard to say, right, I'm finished for the day. What am I going to do tonight? I think that I was very much trying to attack it in this rational way and thinking that the harder I worked, the better it would be, and just completely ignoring the needs of my body. This is something that I see a lot around me. A lot of my friends do that same kind of work where they're self-employed, and I feel like we're not very kind to ourselves. We've got this kind of Puritan work ethic where almost like the more uncomfortable you are, the more it proves that you're working hard. You know, we sort of boast about how busy we are and, oh, you know, I haven't been able to have a shower and, oh, I haven't eaten a proper meal for ages, as though it's proof that we're working hard and we're doing well, and there just seems to be something really dysfunctional about that. There's a definite need for us to be kinder to ourselves. And I was recently reading about the Danish art of hygge.
It's pronounced hygge, but it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
Kaylee Tanner is a Brighton-based writer and author of the Hello Hygge blog.
Hygge is the Danish concept, which roughly translates as cosiness. So it's to do with kind of finding those little moments of joy in every day, whether it's sitting around with friends in a nice cosy room or just enjoying some baking, that kind of thing. A couple of years ago, I was flicking through a book called Scandinavian Christmas, and there are all these kind of gorgeous, like, warm, twinkly pictures in there. And I noticed the word hygge on one of the pages, and I wanted to find out more because it sounded like such a nice concept. So leapt onto the internet, and there wasn't really too much about it, which is why I thought I should start writing about this. I think it's about kind of appealing to all the senses. So having the right music, the right flavours, the right scents as well. So scented candles are great because obviously you've got the sort of pretty flickery lights and then you have all these nice scents, especially when it comes to kind of foodie scents like vanilla and cinnamon, that kind of thing. it's about touch as well. So when I think of hygge, I think of nesting. I think of kind of layering up in blankets and faux furs and wool and velvet and all these kind of really luxe, heavy, tactile fabrics. And then you've gathered all the people that you like into one room. You've illuminated it with fairy lights and candles, and you've cooked something, just some nice comfort food. That's the thing about hygge. It doesn't need to be fussy or pretentious because it's something you feel. It's intangible. It's just things that make people happy, essentially. People tend to feel guilty about taking time for themselves because everyone thinks, I just need to reply to this work email, or oh, I just need to run this errand quickly. But I think giving it a name and, you know, knowing there is a concept behind it, and obviously with Denmark being the happiest country in the world, there's got to be some truth in the power of hygge. And there is a light that shines on you. Gentle as a morning wind. Delicate grace we've come to. My love. Over time, it's only going to become more important, because obviously the pace of life isn't slowing down in the UK anytime soon. So I think that the more we can connect with hygge now, the better.
I love the idea that hygge is about all the senses. That's so important for us as humans. It's the way that we experience world, and there's so much pleasure to be found. When I was writing the album, I really wanted to have the idea of all the senses coming together. You know, the taste of honey, the wind on your face, the sound of rain, the feeling of being close to friends, you know, the sensuality of spring evening. Try to make it a visceral world. You know, that's the way that I experience my life. It is very sensual. And so when I realised that it changed everything with Work on the Record, I thought, why am I sort of running so hard at this when I could just be enjoying my life? I won't break your heart. Music is so much about pleasure and escape and the natural world and the way that music can make you move and the way that it can make two people get together on a dance floor. And I thought, that's what I should be writing about, my body and the sensual experience. There's a song on the record called Horse Print Dress, which is this really playful song. And it sort of describes getting ready for a night out and the way that you have wet hair and then someone moves your wet hair and kisses you on your neck, and like a vivid sort of experience of these different kind of textures and feelings, and then the idea of taken by someone's love and how it made you feel like you were spinning and how it made you feel like you were out of control, and the feeling of experiencing the world with your eyes and your ears open. I'm a horse print dress. Ooh, ooh, and know my hair's so wet. Ooh, ooh, you kiss me on my neck. Ooh, ooh, and tool in the body. I feel like I've become much more in tune with my body since I started studying Pilates 3 years ago. I popped into Lee's Pilates place to have a catch-up with my instructor and good friend Kath Nesbitt.
Just generally now people are sitters that exercise, and I think we've lost the art of moving. You know, when you're young, you're out all day long riding your bikes, climbing trees, and we don't do that anymore. We sit all day, and then we might go to the gym and like exercise like mad for an hour and then go back to sitting again. So I suppose for me, movement has always been a passion. When I was very little, my gran had a stroke and she lived with us, and I used to make up these exercises for her to try and get hands back. So I've always been interested in sort of rehabilitation. And in my 20s, I did circus and physical theatre. I kept tearing the same muscle over and over again. I looked at everything. I went to see every kind of therapist possible, and I got to a point where I was so confused because everyone was telling me different things. And then I came across Pilates and the Alexander technique, and for 3 months I did Pilates 3 times a week and Alexander 2 times a week. And I was transformed. I remember going home and my mum said, my God, you look like a different person. My shape had changed so much in that short space of time. And I felt amazing. You know, I was more confident than I've ever been. I felt that sense of confidence with power in your own body. You know, when you're so connected with your mind and your body and everything is one, and it's impossible to separate the two. When people come for a class and they get completely lost in the zone and they're coordinating movement and breath and they're concentrating on the bodies, at the end of that hour, people feel amazing. I was really into yoga for a long time, but I never quite got that same sense of feeling like my whole body had been put back together in a certain way and that my mind and my body were one machine. And so as soon as I could, I trained to be a Pilates teacher.
I can really relate to that feeling of walking out and feeling euphoric and feeling that all the things that I came in with, all the sort of stresses and the things that were important to me, just feel like they're much more easy to deal with. And it's almost like you can physically get hold of your problems. When you feel overwhelmed and stressed somehow, you just don't realise how much of it you're sort of carrying in your body. And how important do you think it is to make that reconnection with the mind and the body?
Oh, I think it's essential. Most people walk around and they're just ahead. They're, for some reason, you know, just wear and tear generally, they might start to get a little niggle in their back or an achy shoulder. A lot of people, they dissociate from that part of their body to stop feeling it because it's uncomfortable. And then 20 years down the line, they're completely unaware of what their body is doing. They can't feel the body because it's so uncomfortable. Sometimes when people come in here, it's like asking someone to feel what it feels like to move their leg. It's like that's such a foreign question. People don't get it. Slowly over the weeks when people learn how to spend more time in their bodies and feel what their body's feeling like, they reconnect and you can actually see the way people move differently. It's like sometimes people come and they look like they're different parts of bodies that have all been randomly sort of stuck together and nothing is really communicating with each other. It's very jerky and staccato. And then even after one session, when they go, they look like they're one body that's kind of moving, you know, as one. When you feel your body better, you've got more control of your body, you're going to move it better, not just in your Pilates class, but in the rest of your life, the rest of the week. So when you're sitting, you're more likely to think, oh, actually, I've got that little niggle in my back again. Oh, I know. If I sit up straight like I've been shown how to do, oh, yeah, the pain's gone away. Oh, and I feel so much better. And actually, when you're sitting up straighter and your head is perfectly balanced on your spine, the flow of messages from your nerves, the blood, the cranial fluid, everything flows to your brain and your brain will work better.
I really think it's so important for us to feel like we have that power and we have that control or even just the option of that. I think I've inherited this idea that, you know, as you get older, you get more and more sort of uncomfortable and more things go wrong and it's just a sort of steady decline that you just have to accept. And I think it's really sort of radical to hear someone talk about an alternative way of thinking about your body where actually you could be constantly unlocking it. You know, I think it's really encouraging.
I think we've just become a culture of we go to the GP and we want the GP to tell us what's wrong and we want a pill to take it all away. But actually, how much more empowering is it to think my own destiny is in my hands? And if I did Pilates 3 times a week and I learned mindfulness and I looked at my nutrition and I looked at ways of just maybe reducing my stress load, you know, how much happier would you be? How much happier would we all be? But I think that reliance on people coming and wanting to be fixed, you know, I like to give people tools so that when they come here, almost our first session is, right, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to go away and do this at home. So straight away, you've got something, so you can start making a change in your life. You can't expect other people to fix you. You have to look at yourself. And if you really want to make a change, you have to make that commitment.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the sort of emotional side of the pain that we hold in our bodies. I remember one time I was here, I was sitting down and I was laying over this thing called a spine corrector, which sounds very evil. It's like a little bridge, isn't it? And I was laying back over this thing. And as I sat back up, tears just kind of started coming down my face. And I just had this weird sort of memory of something really sad that had happened, like when I was much younger, and that I'd forgotten about. And why do you think that happened?
I think it's because, what I was saying before about trauma and how about trauma gets stored in the body, I think emotions get locked in. So during that time of trauma, your emotional state becomes locked in a muscle. And then when you start to release and open the muscle, if the time is right where you feel safe in that environment and you're ready to let go, then you can start to release that trauma, which is probably why you thought of that memory and then the tears came. I teach a somatics class as well, and I remember one class, there was three people crying in the class. And it was because it was such a huge release in a way that people don't ever let go of their bodies. It's, you know, for a lot of people, they don't feel safe for whatever reason. They create patterns of holding in their body. And when you start to release and open that, and in an environment where they feel very safe, you can get this big release. And it's okay to experience that. It's important just to let the process continue. You don't want to stop it and block it and block it back up again. Joseph Pilates has got loads of wonderful quotes about the mind and the body. Some people think yoga is the sort of spiritual one and Pilates is just exercise. But if you read some of Joseph Pilates' books, I have to remember they were written a long time ago. He was quite a character, so he's got a certain way of phrasing things. But if you look through that and see his essential message is that the body and mind connect, and your spirit as well. And when all of those are in alignment, then, you know, you're at top of your game, you can conquer the world.
As I said at the start of this podcast, it's so important to stop and listen to what your body is trying to tell you. Nothing on our to-do lists is ever as important as our own health and happiness.